Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, welcome back to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600. But that was one big lie, because I am not Terry Wickstrom. I'm Chad LaChance. I'm filling in for Terry, who's fishing in Minnesota right now. I know that's a big hardship, but he did give me the opportunity to fill in. And I don't want to take any more time to listen to me blab, because one of my favorite guys is on hold right now, and that's Mr. Dan Spangler. He's the hard bait development manager for Berkeley. A guy that's very important, because about three quarters of the lures I throw, he's designed. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, Chad?
Well, I wish I was fishing. A box of a couple of Chapo 75 showed up at my house last night, and they will be on the end of a line here as soon as I get off the radio.
And that's where they should be, too.
So, Dan, for people that aren't familiar, I'm going to give them 20 seconds of background. You have a degree in fisheries biology. You have a minor in botany. You love to fish more than any person ought to. And for the last decade or more, you've been a lure designer at Berkeley.
Right.
That's a pretty substantial resume. I've fished with you, and I know you're a fisherman at a high level. We filmed several TV shows together last year, and I hope to do it again. But I don't think people realize how much time and work and everything goes into bringing a lure to market. And so let's use one that I think both of us are familiar with. For obviously you are, you designed it, but our viewers are probably, our listeners are probably familiar with, and that's the Hit Stick, the Berkeley Hit Stick that came out last year. How does that start? Where does the start of, you know, a Hit Stick working backwards, where does that whole situation start? Where's the idea for the lure come from?
Well, essentially with the Hit Stick, that was a project that actually took the greater part of my 10 plus years being at Berkeley or Pure Fishing. It started when I first came in the door. We were working on the Flicker projects with Gary Parsons and Keith Cavias, and we had always talked about doing a shallow minnow bait to go after balsam minnows, but in plastic that would be able to do things that those baits couldn't particularly do. So, working on and off on it through that 10-year period, I really dove in about 3 years prior to the bait launching. And that's where really the meat and potatoes work took place. We had developed countless prototypes, hundreds of prototypes, prior to that, and we could not get the balsa action. Someone told me when I first came in the door that, you know, it was almost impossible to get balsa action in a plastic bait. So I took that as kind of a challenge. So I really dug in those 3 years, and we finally cracked the code on the number nine. We started with the number nine size because that's kind of a market standard. And it took over 30 prototypes just once we got the body design and we figured out the flash disc technology. So the key with the bait that we ended up figuring out was a thin, lightweight plastic shell paired with the flash disc technology, a low center gravity weighting system, plus a couple other things in our knowledge and background based on lure action. We've had lures that we've analyzed and developed for over 20 years. We have them in books, all the research and data, it's in databases. So building upon that and integrating it into that particular minnow style bait.
Well, having been to the Berkeley Research Facility myself, talk about a kid in a candy store, I could have spent weeks in there. That place is amazing. But one of the things you can do is put a lure in a flow tank, which basically simulates it being trolled, so to speak, and you can film it, and you can then analyze that motion. So you can say, okay, this is a proven motion. We know this one gets bites, and then try to mimic it the other way around, starting with CAD design stuff. We spent some time in the office. You have a cohort, and I can't remember her name, and I apologize.
Kelly. Yep.
Kelly. We spent some time in her office looking at, I think we were looking at the Chapo that particular day, but analyzing the motion in a computer, and then you can either 3D print, you have CNC molds all right there at your disposal. The 3D printer allows you to churn out prototypes in a hurry.
Right. Yep. So, and I'm involved everywhere from the initial concept all the way to shelf, but really the big fun part for me is we're building the prototypes. I build the actual prototypes with Kelly, and she prints them, and I'll assemble them. We design them together. But what a lot of people don't realize is countless prototypes we analyze in our flow tank system. And again, you mentioned taking the video, the slow motion video analysis, I can actually dial in specific actions for each prototype. So I use it as a filtering system. So we have this flow tank. I'll put it in the standardized position, standardized flow rate, all this stuff. Everything's very scientific, and I'll put number IDs on every single prototype that we develop. Now, the prototype can have just internal weight changes where it's the same body, bill configuration, all that, just internal changes. Or I can change things such as bill angles and things as small as 1 to 2 degree increments. And I can analyze, test these prototypes, put the ID numbers on them. Each ID prototype has a specific action. They are different. And then we'll take them out to the field, and our field tests usually last between 1 to 2 years. We'll go on a variety of different lakes. You don't want it just to be a one-hit wonder and do great at a lake once and say, this is good. You know, we want to test its effectiveness on several bodies of water throughout the year. And we'll let the best prototype win. So it's a filtering system, and actually we let the fish have the final say. And we usually try to outcompete our target competitor, usually 3-to-1 catch rates.
And bite rates. Well, I can tell you, as a guy that's been fortunate enough to test a lot of those lures for you, you guys ship them out to anglers around the country who you trust and who you can communicate with, and those anglers will then put them to work on their water. I happen to be lucky enough to be one of those guys. I can tell you that Black Chapo number 8 absolutely catches them for real. But jokes aside, for me, when that lure comes in, or when those lures, you'll send me a couple of them, I look at them for multi-species as well. Like, okay, this might be designed for bass, but if it'll catch everybody, I know it's a good bait. The other thing we're looking at in that situation is real-world durability. Like you mentioned, balsa. Balsa is great until the first time you cast it long and it hits the riprap and breaks it. Whereas your plastic bait's more durable and more duplicatable. All of them are the same. Those kind of things are stuff that the field guys like me can test. And I know you do a tremendous amount of that as well because you're surrounded by great places to fish.
Right. I'm actually up in South Dakota right now. I'm going field testing tomorrow. So
field testing. There you go. I like the sound of that. That sounds really good.
Yep.
Now, how much pride do you get as a scientist? I assume you consider yourself a scientist or a researcher. It's got to be a tremendous amount of pride to take a bait that you had a hand in, or a major hand in, as a development manager, and put that thing in a fish's mouth.
Right. I mean, there's nothing greater or more rewarding for an experience of catching a fish on a lure that you designed or developed. And it's truly, that feeling is just awesome to catch fish yourself. But not only that, I want to build the best baits out there so that everybody who buys our baits can go and have a successful trip, all the way from kids to the weekend angler to the high hardcore tournament pro. That is the ultimate goal. So that's why we focus a lot of our prototyping on catch rates, performance, and ultimately having the fish have the final say where you have high catch rates. So if you do these things and you work it into the system and use that scientific foundation and research built approach, you can create baits that outperform others based off, you know, actions and lure, motion kinematics. So essentially, you're building almost a super lure and a hard bait, and ultimately, the angler has that reward by catching more fish.
Well, yes, and one of the key things, the hallmarks of any good baits that I look at is, are they consistent out of the package? And that's one thing that basically since about, 2015, I think, the hard bait program was revamped at Berkeley.
Yeah.
Major upgrades, more fundamentally high-performing baits started coming out instead of any kind of gimmicky stuff or anything like that. Now the selection of hard baits that Berkeley's come out with and the level of the pro staff that are using them has come up a tremendous amount. Things like the new Berkeley Stunna, I mean, that's a very high-quality, mm-hmm. high-performing jerk bait at an affordable price. The Chapo, the Hit Stick, there's a lot of them that are very high-performing baits that I think folks – and the key for me is they all work the same right out of the package. I tie it on. I don't have to tune it. I don't have to be an expert on crankbait tuning to make this bait run. I can throw it, and it's going to work every time, and that's really important.
Well, and then that's the thing, too. With every bait that I develop, I want to think about versatility. I want it to be a bait that you can do a lot of different things with, not just one-dimensional. I want, like the Hit Stick – You know, we started out with just a minnow that would go after a balsa bait that you just cast, straight retrieve, and troll. But I wanted it to be the ultimate jerk bait. So I actually tilted the bill angle forward, and that allows the bait to dart. It goes through the water a little bit easier. It's more hydrodynamic. So it'll dart left and right all the way, you know, the 7, the 9, the 11, and the 13 are absolutely amazing, very overlooked jerk baits, in my opinion.
Yeah, extremely versatile. And since I'm in Colorado, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, the 9 and the 11 are absolutely killer trout baits. If you're a guy that wants to throw hard plugs in the river or in a place like North Park or South Park, they are absolutely killer baits for that. I have personally put them through the ringer there, and I know that that bait will produce a tremendous amount of bites. Ironically, the very first cast I ever made with a number 9 hit stick, I made in the Laramie River and got choked by a brown trout, and I knew that was a good sign. I lobbed it across the river, pulled it tight, bounced the rod tip about 3 times, and there was a brown on it, and I knew that was going to be a good sign all the way around. The newest one, the Chapo 75, you guys just got that thing out, and it's a little tiny baby topwater bait. A lot of guys aren't going to be familiar with that little tiny one, but I suspect that that's going to be another closet bait for a lot of different species, from pike and trout, and of course the bass they were designed for, white bass as well. How's that bait working for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's my favorite topwater bait of all time now in the short time that I fished it. But, you know, my favorite probably up to this point was the 90. And, you know, my success on smallmouth and largemouth with that bait out here in the Dakotas and in Iowa. But the 75, it's a more robust, compact body size. So it's a little fatter, a little more squatty. It's got the same chopping tail as the 90. I wanted it to have the same water disturbance essentially as the 90, which is a fantastic fish catcher. I wanted it to track perfectly straight, so we have a lot of weight in there, and I wanted to cast a mile. I think it outcast the 90 personally, because it's so compact. But then the other great thing, it's the smallmouth king for that particular Chapo series, because the hooks are positioned a little closer together, great for fish that have smaller mouths like a smallmouth. The hookup ratio is really good on that bait. I'm super proud of that bait, and it's catching a lot of big smallmouth, almost the 6 pounds. So,
well, and I know when we filmed with you last year, we caught them over 5 pounds, a couple of them over 5 pounds, and the fishing went exactly like you told us they would, and that was fantastic. That's a hallmark of a guy that knows what's going on. Quickly, if a guy wants to learn more about you, because I know you do presentations and things back in Iowa, how would they do so?
Yep. Well, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, just Dan Spengler, and then Instagram, DanSpengler84. So I have those two social media accounts, and I post a lot about sneak peeks on product and, you know, just, hey, going out and fishing this product, this is what you can expect. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Guys, look up Mr. Spengler. He is a great guy, a wealth of knowledge, and one of my favorite guys to fish with. Dan, we hope to get you on Fishful Thinker Television here again pretty soon, and I appreciate you taking time out of your fishing day there in South Dakota to call us in.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Dan Spengler from Berkeley, an incredibly intelligent guy and a really good resource for anglers. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600.